Chapter 14. You are of no importance to the world. Dear Prawn, while researching on my own writing about anchor management, I came across two suttas in the Pali Canon, exclusively on the tactic of quelling anchor. In the first, the Buddha taught his son, Lahula, to practice abandoning anchor by belittling himself. Why did he have to do so? The answer is because Lahula was of loyal lineage. Loyalty possessed hubris and conceit. If he did not know how to let go of his loyal hubris, Lahula would find it difficult to behave. He would probably regard himself highly and act haughtily around clerical premises. The other sutra accounts a story about Venerable Sariputta, who was accused by a monk of being arrogant for being the Buddha's top disciple. In fact, the Venerable Sariputra, as an arahant, no longer possessed arrogance or ego. The accusation was indeed unfolded, but he was wrongly accused because of the incident. One day, when he was taking leave of the Buddha on a pilgrimage to expound Buddhism, before commencing his journey, he was seen off by a large gathering of monks. He took leave of them, by tradition, as occasion permitted. But the monks who came to see him off were too numerous to meet and greet individually. One monk took the occasion seriously, receiving no personal farewell from the Venerable Sariputra. He felt snubbed. His I was not publicly recognized. He presumed that the Venerable Sariputra had placed himself so high as next to the rank to the Buddha, as to ignore him, who was only an ordinary monk. This was simply not the case. As the Venerable Sariputra was an arahant who had completely eradicated his arrogance. Wishing to have the Venerable Sariputra censured in clerical assembly, the monk made a formal accusation to the Buddha, who summoned a clerical inquiry to find out the truth. The Venerable Sariputra's defense was that, humble as he was, he had always compared himself to the land, body of water, thin air, a hornless bull, a doormat, an untouchable sun, etc. Considering himself to be so low and lowly, how could a feeling of arrogance and high self-regard have remained in him? In truth, the Buddha knew the Venerable Sariputra well enough to realize he no longer possessed arrogance within him. The reason he summoned him for questioning was to give him the chance of giving sermon about quelling anger to the indignant monk in question. Hearing the Venerable Sariputra regarded by the Buddha as his right-hand minister, whose wisdom and insight surpass all other disciples, as well as his prominent successor in Dharma, the yet-to-be-enlightened monks in the assembly felt so sad that they shed tears for him, for assessing himself so lowly. Meanwhile, The venerable ones resolved to feel pity for human nature. Alas, humankind, only because the I was not pampered and recognized. In such a small circle as this, was this individual so incensed as to forget himself and accuse the top-ranking elder. For his part, upon hearing the venerable Saliputra making so lowly comparisons to himself, the plaintiff monk burst into tears and, with knees weakening, slumped on the ground with guilty remorse. Before he had realized what he had done, he had inadvertently committed the hyena sin of wrongly accusing a most holy person. He gathered himself up into a position of genuflection and apologized to the venerable Saliputra, who graciously pardoned him. The incident thus had a happy ending. The essence of anger management extracted from two suttas I have translated from Pali into a succinct summary with the following explanation. These are the analogies that you should make to yourself. 1. Land. Naturally, people tread on land, discard filth, defecate, or urinate on it, dispose of trash and waste, throw away flowers, shower it with perfume, or dig holes in it with a hoe or spade. Yet, whether severely violated or lovingly nurtured, the land always maintains its firm standing, never rising up in protest or on appeal for justice for violation, or sharing mirthfully for being loved and cared for. As the land is firm, strong, and unaffected by outside impact, so you should set your mind firmly and strongly when provoked it. 2. A river. A person who is consumed and blinded by anger might brandish a burning torch towards the vast body of water beyond the reach of vision and shout at the top of his voice, "I shall heat this river into sizzling bubbles," and that he immerses the torch into water to burn the river. However hard he tries, he will never succeed. The river will never catch fire. It will remain as cool as it has always been, without any change. When you are provoked to anger, you should make your mind as calm and cool as the river. 3. Air. A person may think that he can paint an exquisite picture in the air. He picks up paints and draws and paints in the air. However hard he expends his energy, he will never succeed in drawing a picture in the air. Finally, he will have to give up, abandon his intention, and go home in defeat. Whenever you are provoked, you should make your mind as empty as air, that never lets itself be tainted by any form of drawing. Four, a cat skin bag. A tainted cat skin bag is clean, feathers soft, and produces no sound when beaten. Whenever you are provoked, you should make your mind as clean and soft as a cat's skin bag. No matter how much you are beaten by words or provocation, you must not resonate in response. 5. A hornless bowl. A bowl with its horn removed is bound to leave behind his fractious nature, arrogance, and haughtiness. It becomes modest, non-malicious, and walks around with humility. You should set your mind to be like a bowl. Do not think of yourself as superior to, better, or higher than anyone else. Rather, you should view yourself as ordinary and innocuous, living a life that is free of ill will to everyone else on earth. 6. An untouchable son. The son of an untouchable, the lowest in hierarchy of the caste, knows his own place. He never retains the slightest thought of vying for power and authority with anyone in the world. He lives his life in modesty, knowing he is worthless and deserves nothing in this world. He has no bargaining power whatsoever. He lives like a non-entity. As a result, he never knows of the sufferings and miseries of the big shots in the higher caste. You should make your mind like that of the untouchable sons. That is, you should make yourself as low and down to earth as possible, taking censure with calm and equanimity, harboring no hatred and resentment towards anyone, and living your life from day to day like an insignificant person, seeing sufferings, happiness, wealth, prestige, and authority as the ways of the world, without ambition and competitiveness. Your mind will be clear and light, and free of sufferings and distress. 7. A doormat or a rag. A rag or a doormat is the lowest of the low. Trodden on repeatedly, countless times a day, it bears its worthlessness and inferiority without a complaint or protest. You should make your mind like that of a doormat or a rag that is ready to take everything as it comes, happy or sad, alternately making contact with you. You should not let your mind smolder with even a slight fire of anger. Day in, day out, you should take pleasure in being a small piece of fabric that absorbs dirt willingly. If, in modesty, you estimate yourself as so low and worthless, your arrogance will eventually diminish and disappear. A person who regards himself as small and insignificant is unlikely to feel offended, get into fights, or look for trouble with anyone. Reciprocally, no one is likely to look for trouble with him. He will feel light physically and mentally, and will manage to live a happy life in this world of chaos. Just like the tongue in the mouth of a snake, in spite of wallowing in venom, it never gets harmed by the poison. Do you agree with me? The simpler life we lead, the more time we live in happiness. The smaller our ego is, the larger the happy space in our mind. Many times over. If what I say is not true, would the Buddha have left his splendid palace to live the simple life until he demise? Your teacher.